And the title of the message is Immeasurably More. Two words, and it's the theme for the church for the entire year, January through December. It's taken from Ephesians 3:20, but Immeasurably More is our theme for our prayer time Monday through Friday of this week. We're going to have different leaders lead each night, and here's what we're going to be praying. That for each particular ministry that person oversees, or even for individual personal lives, this is our prayer for the year. That God will do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. I hope you will stamp your heart with these two words. That God will take your individual life, you as an individual, your family, your friends, your circle, whoever you do life with, and pray a prayer that he would do immeasurably more in us and through us for the entire year. I'm excited about the theme. The staff, as we've met together in the past, we've talked about what we'd go with, and we landed on this. I believe it's a great theme for the year in which we can all gather around and let God be God in our hearts and lives, to do something perhaps beyond what we ever thought or imagined. That's what immeasurably more is. So in your notes, on the sermon listening guide, there's Ephesians 3:20, and I'd like for us to read it together. Let's do it. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. In the preceding verses, Paul's talking about the love of God, how high it is, how deep it is, how broad it is, how wide it is. And so this theme is all about love and him living in people. And he can do immeasurably more beyond what we can ask or imagine. Now, in your notes, I've listed a couple other translations and the key words that they use. For example, the King James says, exceeding abundantly above. Think about this year, 2023, as a life in which you could live exceeding abundantly above that which you've ever thought possible. The Amplified uses the word, do super abundantly more. And in the NLT, the New Living Translation, it says, to accomplish infinitely more. I hope in your mind and heart today, as we settle into 2023, you will just focus on the fact that God's love in you and through you, that he could do something new and exciting, and it would be immeasurably more or above what you'd even thought about that God could do. And so 2023, that's what we want to brand it as and focus on. I want to give you a simple definition of immeasurably more. It's in your notes. Here it is. Beyond measure. Beyond measure. Let me explain that. In the book of Genesis, we read about Joseph, who became the number two person in Egypt. He had about 13 years of trial before God elevated him to this position. Pharaoh has this dream that he was able to interpret, and here's what it was. There would be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And Joseph was charged with storing up grain during the 7 years of plenty because 7 years of famine would follow and would gobble up all the grain that was stored. But here's the key thought. As the 7 years of plenty progressed, it says that they continued to grow, and there was such a volume of crops and corn and supply, and it says they got to a place it was beyond measure. They couldn't count it. It was beyond their ability to tabulate it. It was simply immeasurably more or beyond measure. So as you think about your life this year, God can so take an individual and bless him or her and work in them and through them that you get to a place where you can't even count it anymore. It's just beyond measure, the blessings. And we want to lean that direction this year as a church, that God would do something beyond measure, that it would get to a place where it continues to compound, and he would just bless his people and Walton and beyond because of his presence in us. So here's what I want to do today. I want to share a message about immeasurably more, and I'm going to take pieces or parts of these verses and just expound on him so that we have an understanding or attempt to get an understanding of the greatness of God in our life. So let's get started. In your notes, point number one. The first three words is this. Now to him. Now to him. Read with me Revelation 1:18 in your notes. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. And behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. This is Jesus after he's died and rose again. And John is saying that Jesus is alive forevermore and he holds something called keys. When he died for sin and rose again, he conquered death. He held the keys to heaven, hell, and eternity itself. He is the master, the ruler of everything. He holds those keys in his hands. He also says that he is alive forevermore. The significance of that is found in the next couple verses in Ephesians. Let's read those together. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. I want to pull out two thoughts. We've been made alive in Christ. And Paul says it's because of God's mercy and grace toward us. I want you to ask yourself this question. How alive are you this morning? I mean, physically we're all here and we're alive. Thank God for that. But how alive are you on the inside? Jesus holds the keys to our aliveness. I mean, he's the one that can create new things and give us a new sense of energy in life. And life beats us up, wears us down, we get tired. But listen, Jesus holds the keys to your aliveness this morning. He can make the difference going forward of what he can do in you and through you. So Jesus holds the keys to the future of 2023 if we walk with him and allow him to work in us and through us to do immeasurably more. I have a couple quotes I want to share with you. Here's the first one. Never put the key to your happiness in someone else's pocket. What does that mean? Sometimes we look to our husband, our wife, our friends, family, perhaps too much, and we expect them to make us happy. Don't put your keys of happiness in someone else's pocket. Here's another one. A very little key can open a very heavy door. So you may have something in your life that's a pretty heavy door you're trying to unlock or get past or deal with. A little key from the one who holds the keys is what we need to turn the lock. So a little key from God himself through Christ can unlock a heavy door in our life. And here's the last one. This one's a little harder to read. Let me read it to you. God does not create a lock without its key. God does not give you a problem without its solution. And so the point is, he holds the keys and we must trust him for him to unlock that which is locked in our life. You're here this morning and you're saying, wow, I hope it's a good year of 2023, but I'm dealing with a pretty heavy locked door in my life. Circumstances, a hurt in the past, a struggle in life, something you're dealing with presently that nobody else can solve or you can't figure out, doctors can't, maybe other people can, and you're sitting here and you're saying, wow, I don't know if 2023 is going to be very good or not. When you come to the one who holds the keys to life and death itself, Jesus himself, and when he's a part of our life, and he is the one that gives us our aliveness, he's the one that can take a small key and unlock a heavy door, let me tell you, we are in a good place. You know why? He can just somehow come into our life and do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine or can think. Now unto him, God through Jesus Christ, can do something for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. Number two, the second phrase is this, who is able? Now unto him, who is able? Read with me Hebrews 7:23 in your notes. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. So before Jesus died and rose again from the dead, there were many priests who represented the people before God. And there would be a priest annually who would go into the Holy of Holies, and there would be a sacrifice made for the atonement of sin. And this was done on a regular basis because the priest interceded for the people. So when Jesus died, there are no longer any more priests needed for that purpose because he is the eternal priest. And what's interesting, it says he is able to save completely those who come to God through him. He is able to save completely. So in your notes, you can write this down. He is able to rescue and heal completely. Now let me stop here. I believe in one translation it says, he is able to save to the uttermost, to the furthest degree. His death was so sufficient, so complete, he can heal and rescue you completely. So Paul says, now unto him, who is able? Now here's the question for each of us. With what you've got going in your life, how much do you believe that Christ is able to heal and rescue you completely? It's a question we all have to answer. As I mentioned, life can wear us down and we get tired. But when we renew our faith and we find that Jesus holds the keys and he is able to rescue and heal us completely, it gives us new hope because of who he is. So here's a couple quotes. I've heard your prayer, and seeing your tears, I will heal you. This is about Hezekiah. When he cried out to God, he was about to die, and God gave him 15 more years of life. But God is a God who will respond to the anxieties and the pressures and the pains of our life when we call out to him. Here's another one. Jesus healed cancer, addictions, mental illness, depression. The list could go on and on. You know why? He's able. He's a priest that can save us to the uttermost, save us completely. He can rescue us to the furthest degree. But we have to believe that he's able to do that. Now, down at the bottom, there's a verse there, Matthew 9:29. Let me read it to you. Then he touched their eyes and said, because of your faith, it will happen. These were blind men. And Jesus touched their eyes and he says, because of your faith, it's going to happen. Here's the challenge. Because of your faith, what's going to happen for you this year? Because of your faith. He can do all those things and more. You know why? He's able. He is able to heal and rescue completely. So number one, now unto him, he's alive forevermore. Number two, he's able. Number three, he's able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. Read with me Ephesians 3:20 in your notes from the King James Version. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above, according to the power that worketh in us. King James Version, I love the way it says, exceeding abundantly above. Read with me what the words of Jesus from Mark 9:29. All things are possible to him who believeth. In other words, our faith enters into what God can and will do for us because we have to allow him and free him through our faith to work in an exceeding abundantly way. Dwight L. Moody, it's in your notes, said this, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man or a woman fully consecrated to him. Let me just hold that thought. As an individual, your faith can change your own life and the life of your family. It can change your neighborhood. It can change your community. It can change your office, all because of God living in you and through you, and he will do immeasurably more in us and through us and for us. Here's the key thought for number three. God is limitless to what he can do. God is limitless to what he can do in us and through us. Here's a quote by, I'll put the first one up. Go ahead, Jonica, the next one. God wants to do immeasurably more in and through your life than you could ask. Louis Giglio, just a guy, he's a great man of God. And he says, you know, if we're just available and we give ourselves to him, he will do that in us and through us. I've got a couple other pictures. I want to give you a glimpse of the God we serve. Here's the first one. A week or two ago, we talked about the stars in the galaxy and in our universe. And some estimates there are about 200 billion stars. And the scripture says that God knows them by name. Now, that's a lot of names, isn't it? God knows them all by name. And regardless of how many there are, that is the majesty of who he is. Now, I want to show you another picture. Here it is. I read this recently about a drop of water. A drop of water is 5/100ths of a milliliter. It's very small. We can all picture a drop of water. And someone asked the question, well, how many atoms how many are inside that drop of water? And the answer was, there are 5 quintillion atoms. Boy, isn't that beautiful music? All right. 5 quintillion atoms. How about that? You know, and so God is a God of the universe. There's some 200 billion stars, but he also owns the smallest, minutest thing. That's the kind of God we serve who can do immeasurably more in us and through us because of who he is. So I want us to understand God is limitless. He is limitless. and what he can do for us if we come to him in faith and we continue to trust. So number one, now unto him which is God and through Christ, he holds the keys. Number two, he's able. He literally can save us and rescue us and heal us completely. Number three, he can do immeasurably more because of who he is in us and for us, and he's limitless. Number four, the fourth thing is this, the fourth phrase, according to his power that is at work within us. Read with me Romans 5, 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. I want us to understand where we started. We start powerless. I mean, when we are outside of Christ, we have no power of our own to be forgiven of our sins, to change our life. We're powerless. But Christ came to make a difference. He drew our lives to him through the Holy Spirit. And then, when he's in our life, we can become power-driven. Read with me John 15, 7 and 8 in your notes. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. We start powerless, but when Christ is in our life, we become power-driven. And if we abide in that union, the relationship of the vine and the branch, Jesus said, we will bear much fruit. During 2023, brand new year, you want to be fruitful? You want your life to count? Sure we do. You know how we do it? We remain connected to the vine because we then become power-driven by Christ's presence and the Holy Spirit in us. In Zechariah 4, 7, it says this, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Okay, I want us to understand this. The Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, is the power force in our life. And if we are to have a productive, fruitful year in which God does immeasurably more in us and through us to rescue us, to heal us, to save us, to give us the keys that create aliveness in our life, in which he is limitless, we have to allow the Spirit of God in obedience to literally lead, guide, and direct our life. So here's our kernel thought for number four. What we do in the natural, God does his work in the supernatural. In other words, we have a part to play when we do our part. We have to put our shoulder to the plow. We've got to do some things. We've got to say, God, here I am. But then God comes along and he does his work through the supernatural. Here's a couple quotes. Here's the first one. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You want to have a good year in 2023? Get alone with God through and read his word and let him seep power into your life. It's the beginning of an immeasurably more year for you. Here's another quote. The presence of the Holy Spirit is the keystone of all our hopes. In other words, it's allowing God's Spirit to live in us and through us. And here's the last quote for this point. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living among you. I want to land on this. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the Spirit that lives in you to do immeasurably more beyond what we could ask or what we could imagine. There's a concluding verse in your notes. Here it is. It says, let's read it together. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So as we think of the year, individual life or the life of the church, it's God who works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose. I'm excited about the year. You know why? This week, we're gonna meet here in the sanctuary, Monday through Friday, 7 to 8:15. We're going to call upon God. You know what we're going to pray? That He would do immeasurably more through our individual lives as well as the life of the church for the coming year. And here's the last slide. I'll have Jonica put it up. Immeasurably more. I hope your heart has been somehow stirred that God can take you or anyone and have a year that is marked by His power and His presence in a whole new way beyond what we could think or ask or imagine.